It's The Record from KUOW Seattle. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyatt. And Seattle made history yesterday. The city council passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. It's going to be phased in for all big businesses by 2018. Small businesses are going to have a lot longer to reach the target. The plan was the result of months of negotiations between business, labor, community groups, and it actually passed the council unanimously. But in the normally polite council chamber, the final debate there was raucous. There was name-calling, chanting, shouts of shame, shame, and KUOW's Deborah Wong was there. Hi, Deb.
Hey, David.
So if the bill passed unanimously, what was all this arguing about?
Well, they were arguing because some people were not entirely happy with all the parts of the bill. Remember, this was a compromise that was put together by the Mayor's Income Inequality Commission, and it was pretty acceptable to most members of the council. But there was one member in particular who made it clear that it gave too much away to businesses.
All right, I'm guessing you're talking about Socialist City Council member Kshama Sawant?
Yep, Kshama Sawant. She was the Socialist elected to the council in November, and she came to yesterday's debate armed with a bunch of amendments that she said were meant to roll back the corporate loopholes that were given away during this process. She packed the House with her supporters, so it was filled to capacity with folks wearing red T-shirts, you know, the 15 now people. And the first amendment was to remove language that might someday allow a subminimum wage for teenagers or apprenticeship programs. That was language that the mayor's office wanted to include in the plan. She wanted to have it struck from the bill, but that went down to defeat.
All in favor of the amendment, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is defeated. Who's doing Amendment B?
Ma'am, show hands.
Raise your hands, please.
Raise your hands. Let's see who said what.
That was Council President Tim Burgess trying to sort of move through these amendments quickly, but the crowd was calling for a show of hands. They wanted to know who voted for Kshama Sawant's bill and who voted against the amendment. So Burgess called for a roll call vote.
Harold? President Burgess?
No.
Four in favor, five opposed.
Thank you.
So. And only Nick Licata and Mike O'Brien voted with Sawant on that amendment. But this is basically how the afternoon progressed. Sawant would stand up and give a speech about each amendment. Each amendment would be defeated, and the crowd would erupt in shouts of shame, shame, shame.
I know you've sat through a lot of Seattle City Council meetings, and I don't want to assume that they're kind of snoozers, but I'm wondering how typical this response was.
Well, it seemed pretty remarkable to me. I mean, I've seen tension in the council chambers before, but they never quite erupts in this way. And I think it's new because when Kshama Sawant came onto the council, she really changed the game. I mean, she changed the way the council operates. And, you know, it is a pretty polite process usually. And my sense is perhaps it's because people on the council are elected citywide, so they consider themselves representatives of the same constituency, the city, all the people in the city, right? But Sawant came onto the council being very clear that she represented a specific constituency, and that's workers. And she has been absolutely single-minded in her advocacy for workers' interests. I mean, she's not interested in compromises. She's not interested in what businesses think. She thinks that's someone else's job. So she sits up there on the podium with her colleagues around her, and she basically accuses them of being corporate tools. And the crowd loves it. And so here she is giving a speech about that, and Council President Tim Burgess tries to cut her off, but she continues on.
Thank you, Councilmember Sawant. Thank you.
I want to say one more thing, that yes, it is true that we will not win everything. That is clear. But people's movements today, at this minute, in the chambers, are not being defeated by businesses. They are being defeated by the elected leadership of this city who have to take responsibility for this.
So them's fighting words.
Yeah.
How did her colleagues on the council handle these charges that they're basically corporate tools or minions?
Well, in different ways. I mean, there are two people on the council who are voting with Sawant some of the time, Mike O'Brien and Nick Licata. So they're kind of making up like the new left wing of the city council. A couple of the council members were really absolutely quiet during this whole debate. Sally Bagshaw, Gene Godden, Tom Rasmussen barely said a word during the debate. And yesterday, Bruce Harrell started out being really quiet as well. But then towards the end of the debate, it just seemed like he couldn't hold it in any longer. And this is what he said.
You know, the hardest thing to do is not to talk.
I used to make a living talking. The hardest thing to do is to listen. And quite frankly, I've heard some fairly offensive things said this afternoon, and I won't take offense to them because it wasn't directed at me. Perhaps it was. Perhaps it was. I say assume positive intent. No one's on the side of big business. We're sellouts to big business. That's crap. That is absolutely crap. And I will say that if you want big business to listen to you, listen to business. The voice of the employee and the voice of the employer are intertwined. One cannot exist without the other.
So wait, crap? He actually said crap?
He said crap. He was mad.
So when Sawant was elected, there was this kind of question about how effective she was going to be on the council. I guess it depends on your perspective, but what did we learn yesterday?
Well, okay, she's been in office less than half a year. And at least on this issue, she basically took control of the city council. It became her bully pulpit. You know, she commanded the audience. It was like theater, essentially. And it seems that it seemed to me anyway that many council members either were intimidated or on the defensive. And the other thing that she does, which is really interesting, she sits up on the podium and campaigns against her fellow council members. She says socialists and grassroots candidates need to run against corporate politicians. And she says all you need is a socialist to get things done in the city.
All right, we've got just about a minute left. How does this all roll out?
All right, well, Mayor Murray is going to sign the bill this afternoon, and then the wage will be phased in. By April 1st of next year, if you work for a big business with more than 500 people, you'll be making $11 an hour. If you work for a small business, it'll be $10, and that'll be ramped up to $15 in 2 to 3 years for big businesses and almost 7 years for small businesses. But small businesses can include tips and other compensation in some of that calculation. So small and big businesses will be on the same schedule in the year 2025. And the projection is at that point, the wage will be more than $18 an hour.
All right. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Record on KUOW.
Seattle's fast food workers have tasted victory. Their walkouts helped launch the 15 Now campaign just 1 year ago. Yesterday, many of those same workers stood in City Hall to watch the Seattle City Council give its stamp of approval. While many workers are happy about the council's vote, some of their bosses are not. The International Franchise Association plans to sue Seattle. The association claims the minimum wage ordinance is unfair to franchisees. President of that association, Steve Caldera, joins me now. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Nice to be with you.
You say that franchisees are more like small businesses than big businesses. How do you play that out?
Well, first off, let me just say, you're right. I did say yesterday the city council's action was unfair and it arbitrarily discriminates against the 600 independently owned small business franchise owners that are responsible for 1,700 establishments and account for over 19,000 employees here in Seattle. And I also think that this ordinance that was passed by the City Council and that we expect Mayor Murray to pass this afternoon, picks winners and losers. And really, it's an irrational policy that flies in the face of common sense. As the franchisees, to your question, own their stores, not the chains. So this action would clearly put them at a competitive disadvantage. And under the council's bill, you know, franchisees, many of them here in Seattle, just a small number of employees, would be forced to pay the higher wages in the first 3 years to get to that $15 minimum wage threshold that was passed than a non-franchise business with under 500 employees. So this law, in our opinion, would create an uneven playing field for our franchisees and will ultimately harm the very people is intended to help. And I just listened to that last segment where, you know, it says big businesses and small business will be, you know, exempted. No, franchisees are small businesses. And we're not asking for seeking special treatment, but equal treatment.
So essentially what you're saying is you want the city to recognize that franchisees are independent of the large corporations.
Well, they are.
Right.
They are independent of large corporations. You know, they hire, they fire, they set their wages, they process their own payroll. So they are independent business owners that are not tied to the corporate entity.
If that was stipulated in the Seattle law, would you support the Seattle law?
Look, we just want to Let me just be clear. This lawsuit is not about the level of the minimum wage, although we believe a 61% increase over 3 years is really going to be troublesome for our small business owners. But this is really more about protecting the franchise business model and creating that level playing field for these hardworking 600 franchisees in Seattle. So, you know, that's what we're asking for. We intend to file this lawsuit. There are provisions such as the Commerce Clause, which does not allow a state or local government to discriminate out-of-state commerce. There's also the Equal Protection Clause. So we're putting together, you know, everything that we need to do to file this lawsuit in the very, very near future. And what I'll say is this law isn't ready for prime time, but the challenge will be.
And so you said you're going to file it very, very soon. What are you asking for, an injunction?
We're going to be asking that this provision that discriminates unfairly against franchisees be extracted from the ordinance or the bill that was passed by the City Council yesterday and will be signed by the mayor this afternoon.
Steve Caldera is president and CEO of the International Franchise Association. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Record on KUOW, and yesterday, the minimum wage activist group 15 Now celebrated the City Council's vote to raise the minimum wage here up to $15 an hour, but that doesn't mean they see their work is necessarily done. The advocacy group hasn't decided whether or not to move forward with a ballot measure that would raise the hourly minimum wage to $15 even faster by January of 2015 for big companies, and Jess Spear is the organizing director at 15 Now. Hi, Jess.
Hi there.
So what's next for 15 Now?
I think for 15 Now, this is a huge victory for the movement, and it shows without a doubt that when people organize, they can win. And we hope everyone that's been inspired by the victory will join us on Friday night at a victory party at Washington Hall at 14th and East 1st Street. And it also shows the power of just having one working-class representative, a socialist elected in city government to help advance the issue that working people care about. And moving forward on a ballot measure has to be democratically decided.
What does that mean? What are your plans? You've got this ballot measure that's sort of in the works at this point. Where are you? What are your plans?
Our plan is to have a meeting of all the activists in 15 Now to democratically decide whether or not to move forward. My personal opinion is I think the emphasis has to be on spreading this victory to other cities. I just came back from New York City from a conference there with upwards of 6,000 attendees where 15 Now had a panel to discuss what took place in Seattle. And it was clear there's enormous enthusiasm for spreading this victory across the country and for applying the model of grassroots movement building combined with electing socialists to government to really advance other issues, not just the minimum wage, but other issues, whether it's reforming our tax structures or dealing with global warming.
Okay. Well, just to follow up on the question I asked about the ballot measure, this would be something you're gathering signatures for. Are you still gathering signatures?
There are still 15 Now volunteers that are gathering signatures.
And when would you need to make a decision on that, or when are you planning to make a decision?
I think in the coming weeks we'll make a decision on whether or not we're going to move forward. But as I said, I personally think our priority has to be on building.
Yeah. What are you hearing so far with people, among people within the movement about whether or not they want to move forward with the ballot? You've expressed your personal opinions, but what are you hearing from other folks?
People are extremely excited. A lot of people that have been involved in 15 Now over the past 6 months are ecstatic that we were able to advance something so quickly, and it showed them that it was worth their effort to be involved week in and week out. There are some people that feel that we could have won more, and in some ways I think they're correct. We could have won more with a stronger movement, but it shows that moving forward we have to build a stronger movement to win more.
If you decide not to move forward with the ballot initiative, you talked about other cities, but I assume not everyone's going to move to another city. So if not 15 Now, what are 15 Now activists going to be working on here in Seattle?
I think a lot of people have been raising the issue of rent control here in Seattle. We had the fastest rising rents than in any city across the country. And every time we were talking to people about 15, they said, what about affordable housing? What about rent? And you even heard that from small business owners.
So rent control, not rent stabilization, but fixing rents at 2014 or 2015 levels, something like that.
No, basically it would be the same type of thing, rent stabilization, where you would control or cap the amount it could rise, maybe tying it to something like the cost of living adjustment.
I got it. All right, Jess Spiri, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
She's the organizing director at 15 Now, and you're listening to The Record on KUOW with Marcy Silman. I'm David Hyde.